tell us about where arthritis care is today?
Certainly, as you mentioned, I have had a long career in rheumatology. We've seen a complete revolution in the way we take care of inflammatory arthritis, like rheumatoid arthritis, psoriatic arthritis. And that has happened with the use of new medications, biologics, which actually get at some of the causative inflammatory mediators of those diseases. These types of therapies will continue to evolve and bring better care for our patients with those diseases. We have also been focused on the most common kind of arthritis, osteoarthritis, and we don't really have a disease-modifying medication at this point in time. With rheumatoid arthritis, we can do more than just stop inflammation. We can actually stop the damage with these newer therapies. We don't have that in osteoarthritis, and we are striving to find that magic bullet. And with osteoarthritis, it's going to be much more of a multifactorial type of approach. That is, dealing with inflammation, dealing with the biomechanics that get altered in the joint when the cartilage breaks down, when the bones react and become too big for the joint. And so all those things will have to continue to be worked upon as we go into the next 25 years.
If I'm a patient listening out here, how do I know what kind of arthritis I have? Just simply, how do I know if I have osteoarthritis or rheumatoid arthritis? Osteoarthritis is by far and away the most common.
Osteoarthritis certainly is the most common. And that is the type of arthritis that people tend to get as they get older. You can get it younger, particularly if you've had long-standing obesity or if you've had a joint injury. And we're very involved in looking at what happens to the joint that's injured, what happens to that joint that makes it more susceptible to get osteoarthritis later. The interesting thing about how we diagnose as rheumatologists, how we diagnose what type of arthritis someone has, is we actually talk to the patient. This is one of the areas where really talking to your patient, understanding what joints are involved, that's a huge clue for us. Which joints are involved? Do they get better and then get worse again? Are you fine in between flare-ups and so on? So the best way to know, of course, is to talk to your physician and potentially see a rheumatologist. The joints that are involved in inflammatory arthritis, like rheumatoid arthritis, are usually different than the ones that are involved in osteoarthritis. Osteoarthritis gets the large joints, knees, hips. It can get the finger joints as well. Rheumatoid arthritis tends to hit more the small joints of the hands and feet, and then can also involve other joints.
You've described a really beautiful multidisciplinary and almost holistic approach to somebody with osteoarthritis. Can you describe that in greater detail?
Absolutely. And it's one of the things that really drives what we do at the Thurston Arthritis Research Center and drives the kind of care that we deliver to our patients with osteoarthritis. What I like to think about is that really everyone is at risk for osteoarthritis. So we may take care of people who have lupus or who have rheumatoid arthritis or who have other types of conditions, diabetes, heart disease, kidney disease. But we're all at risk for osteoarthritis, particularly with the obesity epidemic and joint injuries, as I mentioned earlier, but particularly with the obesity epidemic. Some of the things that we do to help other types of arthritis or other medical conditions cause people to gain weight, thereby putting them at risk for osteoarthritis. So one of the holistic types of things we do in our rheumatology clinic is really think of everyone who comes to see us as someone we need to be thinking about, not just what can we do right now to help this person, but how can we preserve those joints from osteoarthritis later. Osteoarthritis is one of those things where drugs alone are not the answer. We need to alter the biomechanics, weight loss, and physical activity, strengthening, and what we would call non-pharmacologic things have to be the mainstay in addition to whatever other types of therapies we may come up with.
So you've learned a tremendous amount about this disorder, and you've learned about it from a number of perspectives, and let's sort of walk through those different approaches. Is there a genetic predisposition to to osteoarthritis?
Absolutely. And we've done a lot of work on genetics in osteoarthritis. There are, as I mentioned, joint injury and obesity are clearly very important risk factors. But we all know people who get osteoarthritis who have neither of those risk factors. And one of the things I think we need to remember and teach our residents and fellows is to ask about a history of arthritis in the family, and particularly a history of joint replacement. Very, very telling as far as whether that family may have osteoarthritis. Women tend to get osteoarthritis in the hands and the finger joints around the time of menopause, and those changes are very, very predictive of the development of osteoarthritis elsewhere. That is a highly hereditary condition. But there are lots of different types of osteoarthritis depending upon what joints are affected, and the genetics may be different for each one.